Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our digital audio service. One of our core values at Living Waters Church is community. And community is about sticking with one another in solidarity no matter what. For example, community means sitting with one another in grief, loss, or challenge. Or community can mean celebrating one another when it's time to celebrate. There's times we do a little of both of that at Living Waters, and certainly on days like this, Mother's Day. Of course, for some, Mother's Day is a day to celebrate what we have. Perhaps for others, Mother's Day is a painful reminder of what we don't have. How are you feeling today? As we come together for this service, our encouragement is to acknowledge and embrace our feelings. And to note that if you're celebrating today, we're celebrating with you. Happy Mother's Day. Or if today is a challenge, we're with you too. For community is about sticking together and making room for one another no matter what. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. We're taking the instruction from our government seriously, so this digital audio service has been recorded with a small number present and working at a distance from one another or even remotely. With that said, today you will hear a message from Ryan Bedwell from our new series in the Book of James called Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. We'll also enjoy some music and a few words from Rebecca Monzo about Mother's Day. So let me read today a passage that we'll talk a little bit more about later. A passage from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 28 in the New Living Translation. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word.
Desperately we need to be redeemed. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh, great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign. You would reign, that you would reign in us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh again. Come search our hearts and purify our lives. We need your perfect love, we need your discipline. We're lost unless you guide us with your light. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh, great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We're offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We cry out for your light to refine us. Cry out for your love to define us. Cry out for your mercy to keep us blameless until you return. Oh, great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. We're offering up our lives, a living sacrifice, that you would reign, that you would reign in us. So reign, please reign in us, come purify our hearts. We need your touch.
It's Mother's Day, and we want to take a moment to acknowledge the incredible gift mothers are to us. I myself am not a mom, but I have a mom, and I'm surrounded by amazing women who are moms. And as I've spent time with them and their kids, I've learned a lot about motherhood, and I've seen firsthand what it takes to be a good mom. The moms in my life have taught me that motherhood is not about perfection or doing everything right, but rather it's about sacrifice, unconditional love, resiliency, vulnerability, the ability to play hide-and-go-seek, build with Lego, help with homework, or dress up as a Jedi Knight. Motherhood is also about presence, about being there for your kids in the good and bad times. And when they fall, it's being there to show them that they can get up, shake the dust off, and keep going. I am a product of a mother who is not perfect. She did not do everything right, but she was a constant presence in my life, and there was never a doubt in my mind that she loved me. Despite her shortcomings, or maybe even in spite of them, she showed me that it's okay not to be okay, that strength isn't just found in the biceps, and that holding on to faith in Jesus will get me through anything. My mother is my Spanish superhero, not because she's perfect, but because even though she's not, she still chooses to show up for me. This moment today is for every mom who feels less than, who believes that their mistakes and inadequacies mark them as failures. This moment is for the mom who wishes they were like the mom on Instagram, whose house always seems clean and whose child is always freshly washed and perfectly polite. Being a mom isn't about appearances, but rather about a child's knowledge that no matter what, you've got their back. You are their biggest fan, their greatest support system, and the voice that tells them that they can. We celebrate you for every hug, every dried tear, and every prayer that only God might hear. You are amazing. You are worthy of honor. You are needed, and you are loved more than you will ever know. So today and every day, we say thank you. We pray that God will continue to strengthen and sustain you, and that when doubts rear its ugly head, that God will remind you that you are a precious gift. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks, Rebecca, for those words. Let's take a moment and pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for Mother's Day, for mothers. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of mothers. Thank you for what we see through the life of a good mother that shows us who you are, that gives us a picture, an understanding of who you are, God, nurturing, loving, selfless, strong, creative. Jesus, thank you for moms. We pray a blessing on moms today. Young, not so young, experienced, inexperienced, moms with lots of kids, moms with just one kid, moms who would say that they might not biologically have kids, but they know out there they have many, many kids. Lord, when we think about Mother's Day, we know that it's complex. For some of us, Mother's Day reminds us of what we don't have. For others of us, Mother's Day reminds us of what we have and we can celebrate. So for those that are celebrating today, we celebrate together. And for those of us who are a little bit pained by today, we remember that you wrap your arms around us in the kind of loving and tender embrace that we can expect from a loving father, a loving mother. So today we celebrate Mother's Day. We pray a blessing on the moms that we know and the moms that we don't. We ask for your strength, your wisdom, your love to pour through their lives. And we pray today, Jesus, that you would sense the great smile of God on anyone who embraces the word mother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ryan, and I'm pleased to be able to bring you our fourth message in our series on James. I'm going to be speaking from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. So if you have your Bibles or a device, I would encourage you to open it to those verses so that you can see what we're going through for yourself. First, I would like you to consider this. Can you think of three or four people that you are closest with? Go ahead and picture them in your mind. Maybe you're sitting with them as you listen to this. Or maybe they're the people that you can't wait to be able to give a big hug to when you can be with them physically. Picture those people and think about your interactions with them. Not the specific moments, but generally. What are some of the things that characterize that friendship? Love, trust, mutual benefit, laughing, shared interest. Now consider this question. Have you ever done what they said you should do? Let me say that again. Have you ever done what they said you should do? Because the relationship is mutually shared, there's love, care, and concern for each other. I would assume that almost all of our answers would be yes. Yes, we have, at some point, done what these people we love and care about have said we should do. Why is this? Why do we listen to the people around us? Are they experts? Maybe, but most likely not. Are they geniuses? Maybe, but especially if you live with them, you probably know that they're not. Are they brilliant mathematicians who have calculated all the odds relayed to the issue at hand? Maybe, but again, probably not. These people are most likely electricians, teachers, nurses, and business people. I presume they're moms and dads and grandparents and, in my case, kids. So why do we listen to them? Because we trust them. We trust and believe that they have our best interests at heart, that they care enough to put themselves into our shoes and use all the knowledge they have to guide us in the right direction. So what if I were to tell you that you could have the most trustworthy, the most intelligent, the most loving person in the entire world give you advice? Would you take it? I think most of us would say, maybe. Why? Because we don't actually know the person. We haven't experienced the trustworthiness, the intelligence, and the love from that person for ourselves. This is why the first part of chapter 1 in James, and in previous weeks of our series, James speaks directly to the issues of faith and trust. God wants to have a relationship with us because he loves us and cares for us. But as we get to today's passage, the second part of chapter 1, James begins to transition from faith and trust into action. In what we would call wisdom literature, James begins to speak to how we act if we are in relationship with God. Now, before we go any further, I want to address the issue for those of us who don't like to be told how to act. Let me calm your concerns. James's intention here is not to build rules. Rather, it is to impart wisdom. And there's a difference. If you and I were to sit down as friends for a heart-to-heart chat, and I were to tell you, you know what, I think it would be wise for you to put money away into savings. In fact, I think it would be really wise for you to put 10% of your income into savings for either retirement or for a rainy day. I would think most of us would agree that this would be wise advice. It is said out of genuine concern and care for your well-being and financial security. Because of that, many of you would work towards putting that advice into action. It's not a rule. It's wisdom that's conveyed from one to another. This is what James is doing. Think of James not as religious authoritarian, but rather as concerned best friend. After all, that is why he wrote the letter. So James has three key pieces of wisdom in this section of scripture for us. First, he advises that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak in anger. Second, he advises that we should be quick to listen and quick to act on what you hear. And finally, he advises, be quick to listen and quick to express love to others. Pause for a moment again and consider James's wisdom. This is good stuff. These are things that one Christian friend should be saying to another. There's no squashing of self-determination here, just wisdom, out of concern for you and for me. So let's quickly move through some thoughts on each one of these pieces of wisdom. James tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak in anger. I would love to be able to say that James, in all of his creativity, has revealed something new here. But he hasn't. There's a proverb that says, "Do you see a person who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than him." Ouch. Jesus said that words are powerful, so we should take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, but they can also be your condemnation. The concern of the writer of the proverb, the concern of Jesus, the concern of James, my concern for you today, and hopefully your concern for me today, is that we would let what we hear cause a quick and volcanic reaction of anger in us that would cause us to say something that either we would regret or that would be harmful to others. Or, as I'm sure we have all experienced, we would say something that we would regret and it would be harmful to others. Friends, our relationship with God actually influences the way we speak. No, not with an accent or with specific words we use. Rather, with a check of our spirit before we speak. James here reminds us that when we speak out of a place of anger, we don't speak from a place of being centered on Jesus. Rather, when we speak out of anger, it is typically from a place of being centered on ourselves. So what is the solution? James says, let your relationship with God inform your understanding. God our Father is the one who controls all things, not us. So slow down. Listen to what the other person is saying. Take a posture of humility, knowing that God has created and loves that other person just as he created and loves you. This posture will save you and me so much grief. So, quick to listen, slow to speak. James's second piece of wisdom for us is to be quick to listen and quick to act on what we hear. He tells us that we should listen to what God would say to us, but don't stop there. We should be quick to listen to God and quick to act on what he says. James writes this beautiful imagery, "For if I listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." Can I tell you a meaningful story to me on this Mother's Day week? It's a story of my grandma Bedwell. This is my dad's mom. I didn't get to know my grandma Bedwell as well as I would have liked. My grandma Bedwell had lots of kids, and her kids had lots of kids, and those kids actually had quite a few kids as well. And so there's a lot of people, and because they're Bedwells, they're all loud and they all talk a lot. And so there wasn't a lot of time for individuals of us. In fact, as I reflect now, I actually can't remember a time in my life when my grandma Bedwell was able to remember my name right off the bat. She would often come up to me, and then she would start with my dad's name and then maybe go to one of my uncle's names and then maybe to my cousin's names. And eventually she would sometimes make it to my name, but more often than not, I or somebody else would have to remind her of what my name was. I didn't realize it at the time when I was a kid, but this was actually the onset of Alzheimer's and dementia for my grandma. On Mother's Day, I think about my grandma Bedwell, and I have one particular image in my mind. It's a photo that my sister-in-law took of my grandma not even a year before she passed away. You see, my grandma lived to be 94 years old, and in those last years, she had to go into a care home because of those diagnoses. The image I have in my mind is my grandma sitting in the chair that they would wheel her around the care home in. And on that chair, there was a tray. I presume that this was a tray that they put her food on, and they put any activities that they had her doing on. And in this photo, under one arm is tucked a stuffed animal. I would think that one of her children or grandchildren gave it to her. But on the tray is a Bible. And this is unlike any Bible that you've probably seen, because this Bible looks less like a book and more like a fan. In fact, this Bible has been flipped through so much that the binding has absolutely no relation to a book anymore. The pages are just sticking up in all different directions. And that's the photo. Here's why the photo is meaningful to me and why it pertains to the book of James today. I know that my grandma looked in the mirror, as James says. My grandma read God's word and worshiped him because he is amazing. Here's why I'm so proud of my grandma. She looked in the mirror so much. She read her Bible and worshiped God so much that even when her mind stopped working as it had previously done, and she forgot everything else and didn't understand what was going on around her, even as dementia and Alzheimer's took their toll, she never forgot. Even till the day she died, they would put her Bible in front of her, and she would flip through it, even though she couldn't even read it. But she knew that it was a source of comfort for her. It was God's word to her. And even until the day she died, they would wheel her up to the piano in the care home, and she would take her fingers that no longer worked like they used to, but she would put them on that piano, and she would begin to plunk out an old gospel tune, and she would sing with her crackly voice and praise God. This is what James is talking about. Be quick to listen, yes, but also be quick to act on what it says. Don't forget it. Live it out. Memorize it. Make it part of the very fiber of your being, because in doing that, you will experience God's blessing, not only for today, not only for this lifetime, but forever. Living Waters, quick to listen, quick to act. James's third piece of wisdom for us is that we should be quick to listen and quick to love those around us. True faith and trust in God means that we not only say it with our words, but have faith and trust in God with our actions as well. James points us in a deeply applicable direction for our lives in 2020. You see, true faith stays the course whether it is convenient or not, whether it is easy or not, whether it seems self-benefiting or not. James alludes to what Jesus said, that we are to love God and we are to love others as ourselves. This is what following Jesus boils down to. Genuine faith and trust means we look after the vulnerable. It means we look after the refugee. It means we help to feed the homeless and the poor in our city. It means we do what we can to care for the hungry in Africa and the person struggling with addiction in Russia and the poor in Thailand. Here's the great news. This community, Living Waters, does that and has done that for many, many years, whether it was the economic downturn of 2008 or the real estate boom of the 2010s or COVID-19. The Christian, and we as a Christian community, will not stop loving, because God will not stop loving us. Living Waters, quick to listen, quick to love. And so today, let me ask you this question. Do you have faith and trust in God in order to do what He says? Do you have a relationship with God that would allow you to be able to take God's word and put it into action in your life today? I hope you do, because God wants to bless you today. He wants you to experience all that He has for you in your life today. And I'm pretty certain that Grandma Bedwell, that James, that I, that Jesus would want you to experience all that God has for you today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much that you don't just want relationship with us, but you have a good plan for our life as well. Lord, would you speak to us today? Would you help your voice to be heard? And Lord, Would we be quick to listen, slow to speak in anger? Would you help us to be quick to listen and quick to act on what you would say to us? And would you help us to be quick to listen and quick to love those around us? Thank you, Lord. You are good. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
It's been so good to be together as we've been on a journey discovering the book of James. Building My Life, what a beautiful song, and what a beautiful way to launch a new day and the next few days. Discussion notes for Ryan's message have been placed on our Living Waters Church website. Perhaps they would be a good resource for you as you further consider the book of James. God bless you this week. May you love your God. May you love your neighbor. And let's reach our potential together.